It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
There have been considerable protests today.
And they don't have any belief in law or justice or right and wrong.
How everyone is calling for a peaceful transition.
Lenin said, we must speak in a language
which brings
hate and derision towards those with whom we disagree.
Thousands of people are in the streets tonight. Pretty spontaneously.
A sucker punch, his clothes torn off his back.
Strategy was to create chaos.
Sandy Rios with you. That's an excerpt from a new movie that is just being released, or a new video, called America Under Siege. It'll be a particular series, and that particular one was Civil War 2017. Certainly, we have been watching as civil war has been breaking out in our streets. We have seen amazing undercover video of plans to release acid at inaugural events, plans to stop Donald Trump at all costs, paid protesters, people actually wanting to do evil, people wishing the death of our president, people refusing to participate in the festivities, people creating an impression that maybe the Russians caused this to happen. There are lies everywhere. There is fake news, and there is danger on the streets. But where is it all coming from? Is this just coincidental? Is it driven out of the oppression of Americans of various stripes? Where in the world is this coming from? Well, someone who has been researching this for so many years, Trevor Loudon, I consider certainly a professional friend. I've been talking to Trevor for many years. He actually is a New Zealander, but he is very familiar and acquainted me many years ago about the strong move of the communist left in New Zealand, and that caused him to start to sort of research the worldwide movement. And then, of course, that came back to the most powerful nation in the world, the United States of America. Trevor now lives in the United States, and he joins me in studio. Hi, Trevor.
Thanks. Hi, Sandy. Great to be on. Good to see you.
Yes, my pleasure to have you, Trevor. And by the way, you might know Trevor because his most recent movie was The Enemies Within, and you can see it at theenemieswithinmovie.com. How's that going, Trevor?
Look, that's going great. And what we're finding, too, it's very organic. We're getting huge numbers of sales on things like Amazon Prime and Amazon itself. So, and that's, we haven't done any advertising recently, so it's just word of mouth, because it is probably the most hard-hitting political documentary released in many years.
Well, you've been researching this, really, the layers. I mean, I've learned a lot from you through the years. There are so many tributaries, so many names, so many sources. I honestly don't know how you keep it straight. But that being said, I sometimes wonder, do you ever reach the end of it? Like, you finally figured it all out. You see the puzzle. But it seems as though you continue to pull back more layers, don't you?
Yeah, look, I'm continually finding new stuff, new material. What we have to realize is that America, as the most powerful country in the world, has a lot of enemies. You know, there's always been, ever since the Republic was founded, people were offended by the idea that you would have a government of the people, by the people. The elitists, the tyrants of the world have always tried to bring this country down. And as you couldn't take America down frontally, what are you going to do? You have to borrow from within. You have to infiltrate the churches. You have to infiltrate the education system, the journalism profession. You have to get inside everything that makes America good and pervert it and twist it. And while Americans have been getting, you know, you live in the freest, richest country in the world and you're making money and you're having a good family life and you've got a business, you don't want to think about these sewer rats who are burrowing away into your country. So most Americans are completely oblivious as to how deeply infiltrated this country is inside by foreign and domestic enemies.
You know, Trevor, when I was younger, a lot younger, this really isn't new. The protests of the 60s and 70s, we know now, there were a lot of kids in college then who, you know, oh, make love, not war, peace, justice, fight nuclear power because we don't want the world to blow up. They all thought they were joining in something lofty and noble, but what they didn't recognize was that they were being led like sheep by a much darker force. It's kind of like that now, isn't it?
That's exactly right, but there is a key difference. And I was at a big people's conference in Chicago about 4 or 5 months ago, a big communist conference. 3,000 communists were in the room. And I talked to Carl Davidson, who I've corresponded with over the years, an old SDS hand, you know, radical.
SDS meaning Students for Democratic Society, which is Bill Ayers and Bill Bernadine Dorn.
Those people, he was very much in with them. And I said, Carl, do you think the revolution can still happen? He said, yeah, we're more confident than ever. Because back in the 60s, it was just us crazy kids. You know, we were beating the system, but the system was still largely conservative. The system was American and patriotic, and the church was strong and unpolluted. But you see, now all our guys from that time, we've had 40 years in the universities to indoctrinate, to teach the young kids about Marxism. The next 68 is going to be so much better. That's what he said to me specifically, and there was no hyperbole there. He was very confident that the culture had shifted enough that revolution was a realistic possibility for this country.
Well, of course, I think he's right, and it's interesting to hear him say that. I mean, you and I might have had that conversation, but to hear it coming out of his mouth, you know, we say that all the time. We've seen it, like Bill Ayers. Again, Chicago's my hometown. Bill Ayers at the University of Illinois Circle campus for years now, creating educational materials for the Navy. Even Wheaton College, which is a Christian school that Billy Graham graduated from, has used curriculum written by Bill Ayers, refers to him and their stuff. I mean, that's been a battle for me when I was in Chicago.
Well, the mainstream Christian churches have almost all been perverted to some form of Marxism now.
Yeah, and that's look at our kids not understanding the dangers of socialism, Marxism. We don't have to convince anyone, really, that there's a serious problem. So, Trevor, this latest, let's come back to Washington, D.C., and let's talk about what's going on or what has been going on during Inauguration Week. It really is a stage, but it's greater than Donald Trump, even though people don't recognize that. So let's talk about the groups that you know about that are involved in, have been involved in disrupting the inauguration.
Yeah, well, the key ones, every major communist party is involved in this country. And you're talking 20 different communist parties, from Revolutionary Communist Party, Communist Party USA, International Socialists, etc. But the main and most dangerous ones are the Workers' World Party, which is pro-Iran, pro-North Korea, and the Freedom Road Socialist Organization. There are two branches of that. One is the founder of the Black Lives Matter movement. The other is very oriented towards the Palestine Liberation Organization and communist groups in Latin America, etc. But they have been directing and guiding the anti-Trump protests right from the get-go, you know, at the inauguration, but also before, and they intend to continue this on for as long as it takes to completely discredit the president, bring him down, and they would actually instigate civil war in this country if they can go far enough. And the interesting thing is, both of these groups, you know, we all talk about, you know, in this election, the Russians were involved, right? The Russians are involved in this. Freedom Road and Workers' World are going to Moscow to meet at the anti-globalization movement of Russia. That's a group that's forming a huge worldwide anti-American network, and two major American communist parties who have played a huge role in anti-Trump protests have been involved in this process. So Russia's out there, people, and it ain't our friend.
Isn't that so like Russia? Isn't that so like Soviet KGB thinking to have work both ends of the spectrum?
Absolutely.
And you never quite know where the truth is, never.
No, they do. They work both ends of it. And you know, we interview a guy. We've got it. We our movie that's is out, and people can go see it on the Capital Research Center website. It's out, been out for a while now, getting a lot of progress, a lot of good attention. But the point we make in it is that, you know, one of the guys in his interview says, you know, Russia used to promote an ideology, and underneath that ideology was subversion and terror and chaos. Well, the ideology doesn't wash anymore, you know, but they're still out there trying to sow chaos. They're still trying to sow terror. And they are doing that on the streets of America. And they intend to amp that up. You know, they can't take America down directly, but they can stir up the Black Lives Matter movement, the anti-Trump protesters, the Standing Rock protesters up in North Dakota. All of these things, you know, the Russians have a hand in.
Trevor, let's go to Freedom Road. You mentioned them because it's so familiar to you, but it isn't familiar to our audience. They certainly know Black Lives Matter. I think that if you ask people if they could conjure up an origin for that, they'd say it's Ferguson, Missouri, as a result of, you know, the shooting of the young unarmed. This is not the facts, but this is what they think. A black man, so this is their response of the black community. And so so Black Lives Matter just sprung up spontaneously. That's not true, is it?
No. Absolutely not true. And Jim Simpson, who's here with us, knows this very well, too, with his research. But three women, Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi, started Black Lives Matter. All three of them are complete, long-standing Marxist activists, all associated with Freedom Road Socialist Organization. One of them, Patrice Cullors, was mentored for many years by a former member of the Weather Underground, a white guy. These are hardcore committed Marxists. The whole structure of the Black Lives Matter movement in every city is Marxist controlled. You know, people say to me, there is no communism in America now, Trevor. What are you talking about? I say, well, what do you think Black Lives Matter is? And it doesn't occur to them that Black Lives Matter is a completely communist-controlled movement, 100% communist-controlled.
Trevor, when you say that word, you know, it's funny because for a long time, we have, even myself, who I don't usually hesitate to say what I think is true regardless, but the word communist, you are very careful about, I have been, because we've had to learn to be kind of careful about using that word. It's kind of like saying Nazi. You don't use it loosely. And it's been so now underused that people don't even really, really know what it means. Certainly, even the last two generations really have a vague knowledge of that. So when you say that a group is communist, what does that mean to you? What's the distinction between a socialist group, a leftist group? When you say communist, what does that mean?
Well, some of them use the phrase socialist in their name, you know, like the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, the International Socialist, the Socialist Workers' Party. But they all, you know, socialism to a communist is just a stage along the way. You become socialist, then you go into communism. What I mean by communism are dedicated, committed revolutionaries who are part of a group that wants to have a revolution in America, so the state controls all aspects of your life, the state completely controls the economy, and you are basically then under the control of totalitarianism.
Okay,
that's inspired by a Marxist or Leninist ideology.
Yes, and usually in most countries with some big personality with his picture on a poster to worship in the vacuum created by that. We have to take a break, but Trevor Loudon is my guest. The Enemies Within movie.com is his movie, but this news project is America Under Siege, and we'll put these, both of these, on our Facebook page so you can access them. Be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The
cleverest thing the devil ever did was to convince people he doesn't exist.
Are you or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
The FBI is not allowed to be concerned about these issues anymore.
Your Constitution warns you to guard against enemies, foreign and domestic.
You've got an infiltration of our entire government.
There are congressmen who have actively colluded with the enemy.
Most congressmen on the left could not pass a security check whatsoever.
Andre Carson has had long-standing ties to organizations and operatives sworn to the destruction of our country.
This is our last stand.
Back when I was a young communist, I was potentially one of the most dangerous people on the planet.
Anybody who calls for comprehensive immigration reform, in my judgment, is trying to get the MVP award from ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
It was the communists who created the radical Islam.
These are the stories that the enemies in your government and in the mainstream media do not want you to hear.
Could Hillary Clinton pass an FBI security check?
She's in a position where she can be blackmailed for her behavior, and then there's nothing that she won't do to get what she wants.
As a sworn law enforcement officer, Hillary Clinton is a domestic threat.
These are the enemies within.
All right, Sandy Rios, back with you. That was the voice of Trevor Loudon, Phil Haney, Frank Gaffney, many people that you hear on this show all the time. And the movie was The Enemies Within, produced by Trevor Loudon. A lot of his decades of work, really, researching and understanding the communist movement worldwide, but now really centering in the United States and centering right here in Washington, D.C. The week of the inauguration was just the tip of the iceberg. And sitting also with us in the studio is Jim Simpson. Jim, you heard on some of those clips, too. Jim is a researcher, writer par excellence, and he's been following the left for a long time, too. And I guess, Jim, the question I want to ask you, in Washington, D.C., during this inaugural, what groups were the most notable? And as you were researching it, you know, like Disrupt J20 is one of the big ones. What do you know about that?
Well, it's just like Trevor says, it's a constellation of communist, socialist groups, hardcore left-wing radicals. On our trip here, we picked up they were passing out. They were passing out brochures, and it's one thing very interesting here.
Okay, so hang on. It says stop the Trump-Pence regime before it starts, January 14th to the 20th every night 4 p.m. at McPherson Square. Okay, so.
Take to the streets. And something everybody should notice is that little no right there.
Mm-hmm.
They all have buttons that say no. So anytime you see anybody wearing one of those buttons, you know it's somebody that's going to be part of the Disrupt organization. That's how they identify themselves. Even if they don't know each other, they wear clothing or they put on a button or they do something so that they can know in a crowd, any crowd, who their allies are and who the enemy, which is basically everybody else,
yeah,
is.
You know, James O'Keefe, as you know, has been releasing undercover video. And one of the first one that came out, they were talking about using butyric acid, something like that. At one of the balls.
Yep.
I mean, and these guys were just, you could see their faces. They are just criminals. So if you were to, there's no way to know about this scientifically, but how many of these groups do you think are as radical as the guys we saw on James O'Keefe's video?
Well, planning. They all are. They all are. I mean, those are the only ones who are willingly get involved in this kind of stuff, knowing that they're going to create havoc. I mean, it's the same groups that were at the in Seattle that created the fomented
the anarchists,
the riots. Yeah, they're all anarchists. Yeah. And if you follow their links on any of their websites, you find out they're all anarchists. So one thing I wanted to say about when Trevor and you brought up the Black Lives Matter organization, another group that partners with them is the Dream Defenders. And Nalini Stamp was a director of Dream Defenders, and she went down to Florida when Trayvon Martin was killed. And it was her group that organized with Obama's Justice Department to get the police chief of that town driven out of his job, despite the fact that the FBI agreed with the police chief that Zimmerman, George Zimmerman, had not, you know, done anything wrong. He was defending himself. But they were able, just by their activism and their street disruption, to get him thrown out of office. And Nalini Stamp came up with the phrase, stand up, don't shoot, or hands up, don't shoot. Yeah. And that's the Dream Defenders. She was an organized Wall Street, on-the-ground organizer, also an anarchist, and also a Working Families Party and ACORN activist.
She's also very, very involved with Freedom Road, and as is her husband. But one thing I'll say about Dream Defenders, one of their top guys is a guy called Abus Niyad is his last name. He is the son of the advisor, one of the main advisors to Yasser Arafat in Palestine. You know, so these guys have the Dream Defenders sent two delegations to Palestine to mix with Arabs. They met with the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, a communist organization. They've met with Yasser Arafat's people. You know, Americans have to understand all of these groups you see demonstrating on your streets, every one of them is backed by a foreign power. You're talking Iran, you're talking Cuba, you're talking Russia, you're talking North Korea, you're talking many of the Islamic countries. This is not just homegrown anarchism. This is not just crazy college kids. These are people who are operatives who are working with the Iranians, the Russians, the Cubans, the Venezuelans, the North Koreans. And until that is investigated and stopped, they're going to keep on stirring up trouble and killing people and damaging property and trying to bring this country into anarchy. Yep. This is an attack on the United States.
Of course, the question has to be asked, who's paying for this? Because people have to be paid. The people that we see descending in Washington, they come in, they're well-dressed. I saw lots of them at the airport. By well-dressed, I mean they've got nice Nikes or you know, good jackets. They're not exactly poor folk. And somebody's paying for this.
Well, you know, Jim has done a great investigation on Freedom Road and the amount of money they get in foundations. You were talking tens of million dollars a year, weren't you, Jim?
Oh, at least, yeah.
Foundations, like...
The Advancement Project alone is $50 million.
All right, so when you say foundations, so put some flesh on that. You know who that is, right? The Rockefeller, the Tides?
Exactly. Rockefeller Foundation, Tides
Which
Foundation.
Which is the Soros.
No, and then there's also the five different Soros foundations. There's five of them. And then there's Ford Foundation, Ben & Jerry's, Starbucks, Bill Gates. All of these people contribute to all of these Freedom Road socialist organization groups. And there are a couple of dozen, at least, Freedom Road socialist organizations. It's very, you know, this is how they do things. It's very distributed, but it's very organized. So they can all look like they're each doing their own thing separately, but the fact of the matter is they're all one big organization.
You know what I don't understand, and I should know this, but I don't. And Trevor? I don't know if you know this either. There was a time when we thought that if we had enemies within, we actually pursued them. We had a house on Un-American Activities. Of course, everybody knows that, but they get a bad rap. But there was a point to that. They actually were bringing people. If you were an enemy of the United States living within, you got arrested and convicted. You could not actively work against the country and just stay. Not everything was okay. When did that stop?
Well, that stopped in the 60s and 70s. Well, first of all, the first step was McCarthyism, was to criticize people for being McCarthyists. Now, you know, McCarthy, the House Un-American Activities Committee, et cetera, did sterling work identifying KKK members, Nazi Party members, Communist Party members who were trying to bring down the United States. After the 1950s, the Communist Party coined this phrase McCarthyism, and they demonized anybody who would even call someone a communist, even if they had it tattooed on their forehead,
which goes to the point I made a few minutes ago about for a long time we've not said the word.
No,
even I have hesitated, which Why did I do that? I don't know. But because you know,
you
like,
have been
scared.
Because
you get icky. You have the cootie factor if you call somebody a communist.
Yeah, because this is, you know, as they use the word racism today,
yeah.
you don't want to be a racist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the most horrible thing. You're a leper if you're a racist. So they changed the culture so they made it impossible to call out people for doing bad stuff. And then the communist movement, through people like John Conyers in Congress, actually got those committees abolished. So therefore, America was defenseless, and the radicals just had free rein.
Yeah, and red baiting is another phrase that they came up with. And I call it psychological terrorism. The idea isn't even that people don't want to be associated with racists or sexists or homophobes or xenophobes or name your phobe. It's that by polarizing people and isolating them and repeatedly calling them that name, what they're really doing is making an object lesson out of that person for anybody else who dares to speak out. So what it really is an intimidation campaign. It's not a campaign that actually calls me or you or anybody a racist, although if they can make that stick, they will. But the fact of the matter is irrelevant what the name is that they use, but it makes us radioactive and it makes other people afraid to associate us with us, even listen to us. And it's an economic warfare also, because that impacts the ability of anybody who they target and vilify to actually even get work.
Exactly. So that's been sort of the norm, but things are changing.
Yes.
Like we're actually talking about this, and I have been too, certainly on the air, because how could I not?
Exactly.
You know, you have to call things as you see them.
Yeah.
But now I think people are being more open about saying this, don't you?
Well, things are getting more confrontational out there now. But you've got to thank Donald Trump for this,
for
breaking that political correctness barrier, because all political correctness is a cultural Marxist enforcement mechanism.
Right.
You have to think certain ways and say certain things and like certain people, and if you break out of those boundaries, you are vilified and demonized. And that is the way the Marxists enforce their narrative on us and stop any dissenting voices from being heard. So if everybody only hears one side of the story, they think that's the way it is.
And there's
my personal commitment is all forms of political correctness out the window. Bradley Manning is Bradley Manning. He's a man, right? He's a man.
Yeah.
He was born with certain characteristics, and he still has them.
You know,
and that's it. You know.
You know, my personal theory. I don't want to go down another tangent, but I've talked about this on the air a lot, so my listeners will understand the whole notion of gaslighting, of telling people lies and making them think that they're crazy because they see something different, like the truth is not comporting with, there are more jobs, the economy is flourishing, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, your healthcare costs, you know, and you're going, I'm not seeing that. But then you feel like you're going crazy. So we have been gaslighted based on that old movie, Principle with Charles Boyer. And one of the reasons I personally think that people are so euphoric over Donald Trump is not so much Donald Trump, although he is an interesting character, charismatic, and he is a breath of fresh air. I think it's that he has led the way to releasing us from the bondage. We're kind of like Ingrid Bergman in the movie. I'm not going crazy.
I'm not going crazy. Yeah.
And I actually think that's a part of the strong reaction to him.
Absolutely. He's changed the whole paradigm.
And that's why the left are getting violent now, because the narrative isn't working, so they have to reinforce the narrative.
Which, by the way, political correctness is another term that was created by the communists in the 1950s. If you didn't follow the party line, you weren't politically correct.
That was life-threatening. Yeah. The full phrase was politically correct and ideologically sound. If you're a good communist, you are politically correct and ideologically sound. And if you weren't those things,
That it's off to a re-education camp.
That was not good.
And to help you think differently.
Yeah, another communist said, think before you think.
Well, and so now we can certainly relate to that. That might have seemed like kind of ridiculous, but now we're seeing in corporate America, you know, if you don't have the right thinking on certain situations like homosexuality, I don't know what else, maybe Islam, then, you know, we have to, like, teach you. You've got to go change your thinking.
That was a strategy initiated by Vladimir Lenin and honed over the years.
Well, he did very, very well, Vladimir, but he is dead now. You know, it's and so.
But his thoughts go marching on.
Yes, they do. All right, my guests are Trevor Loudon, and that was James Simpson also, who helped on this movie, which is, by the way, America Under Siege, Civil War 2017. We'll put the links on our Facebook page so that you can find them. TrevorLoudon.com. James Simpson writes for American Spectator and a number of other outlets. He's a great writer. They're not leaving, but I am going to add to the mix a familiar person to all of you, Phil Haney, the author of See Something, Say Nothing, because he's been exploring the Islamic connection with all of this disruption, and he'll be joining the conversation next. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Nearly 24 hours after her arrest, Noor Salman appearing in court. Federal prosecutors say she knew her husband, Omar Mateen, was going to carry out the horrific shooting that killed 49 people inside Orlando's Pulse nightclub. She's now charged with aiding and abetting and obstruction of justice.
I raised her. I know she's innocent.
Outside of court, Salman's uncle adamant she had no clue what her husband was planning.
The only thing she knows about him, he's an abuser. That's what she all knows. He's an abuser and controlled person. She's very soft, sweet girl. She don't think outside the box.
The FBI focusing on Salman, seen here the night after the attack almost immediately, confronting her with surveillance video of her and Mateen shopping for ammunition and investigating trips the couple made to Orlando.
But it seems clear the authorities here believe there are inconsistencies in her story, and they just don't believe her.
Sources telling ABC News that Salman initially told investigators her husband left the house the night of the attack with a bag of guns and she begged him not to go. But in November, Salman reportedly telling the New York Times she thought Mateen was out with a friend that night until she received a call from his mother looking for him. Salman is expected to make another court appearance tomorrow. If convicted, she could face life in prison for the aiding and abetting charge. Danya Backish, Channel 7 Eyewitness News.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. I'm not changing the subject, really, because many are saying that there is a really deep connection called by many the Red-Green Axis, the Red Communist Movement, the Workers' Parties, the Bill Ayers, the Black Lives Matter. It's just an unbelievable, but throw in the mix the Islamists. Trevor Loudon, again, is my guest. Today, and I want you to remember that he wrote, produced The Enemies Within. The Enemies Within movie, he's been researching The Enemies Within for a number of years, but it's only been in the last, since 9/11, I think that we've really become aware that we have other enemies in our midst, and now they're working together. And Phil Haney has joined us, and Phil is the author of See Something, Say Nothing. He is the Department of Homeland Security employee who had done research on all of these connections, much like Trevor has, but in the Islamic world. Phil was an entomologist, and so he's a scientific mind, and it's been amazing to see how God has used, and that's his gifts for detail, to link all of these Islamic groups together. And so I've asked Phil to join us because you've been researching recently now the Islamist contribution to this attempt to overthrow the United States. What have you learned, Phil?
Well, I'm talking about a fatwa or a ruling, a legal ruling that was issued on the Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America website November 28th of last year, right after the election. And it's basically camouflage language. And what I've done is gone through and pulled out all the Quranic threads from what otherwise seems a pretty benign document. But if you are fluent in the Quranic concepts and ideology, you can see them, like the veil is removed. And so what I'm doing right now literally is walking through and doing an analysis of this fatwa. And one of the things that stands out to me is one of the later paragraphs, as they culminate their conclusions, they talk about aiding civil rights and civil liberties organizations. That has a double meaning, because, for example, most of us have heard of Council on American-Islamic Relations. That's considered by its own definition to be a civil rights and civil liberties organization.
Despite them, they say so repeatedly.
You talk about a mantra and putting words into the minds of people.
Exactly.
Every single time they appear in public, they say they are the largest Muslim civil rights organization in the country. And yet, they can't escape the fact that they're connected to Hamas. And this organization called the Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America issued this fatwa on the 28th of November, and they talk extensively about affiliating and allying with both Muslim, and here's the real intriguing connection, and non-Muslim civil rights organizations. Who do you suppose they're talking about?
Well, I think Trevor actually alluded. Okay, let's connect some dots here, Trevor, because you were talking about Palestinian connections. You talked about the son of one of the aides or counselors to Yasser Arafat being involved.
Yeah, as in the Dream Defenders organization, which is a big part of the Black Lives Matter movement. But
well, the other ones that are obvious is the Civil Liberties, ACLU, and the Southern Poverty Law Center. Mm. And someone might say, well, how do you know that's true? Well, the precedents have already been set.
Absolutely.
When I appeared before Ted Cruz Judiciary Committee on the 28th of June last year, on my right was Farhan Akera, Muslim advocates. And on my left, literally, was Mr. Cohen of Southern Poverty Law Center. Those were the two witnesses that the Democrats brought to this hearing on willful blindness. They didn't realize, probably, that on my right and on my left, I was like a piece of bologna in a sandwich. These two people were my most implacable adversaries during my entire law enforcement career. Only the Lord himself could have set that up. And they watched me give my testimony where I literally held up pictures to the camera and showed the icons of these organizations and what they are in Arabic and discussed it for the first time in history before the members of Congress. And I want to mention something about the AMJA, Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America. They are a group, a consortium of Sharia scholars, not only Native American-born, but most of them are foreign-born, and nearly all of the leadership is educated at Al-Azhar University in Cairo, Egypt, which is the epicenter of the Muslim Brotherhood hierarchy. Now, the Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America doesn't sound particularly ominous, but let me tell you what it is in Arabic. It is Majama Fuqaha al-Sharia bi-Amrikia. Fuqaha means lawyers, Majama is a group, al-Sharia is exactly what it sounds like, bi-Amrikia means in America. The group of lawyers promoting Sharia law in America. Is that constitutional? Aren't we constantly reassured that the Muslim community has absolutely no intention of implementing Sharia law within our culture? And even if they were, that it doesn't pose any threat to the Western values of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? If that is actually true, then why does this major organization, which I call the sun of the Islamic solar system in North America, it keeps all the groups orbiting in their place as per Sharia law, why do they use the word Sharia, literally in Arabic, in their title? Because they are promoting Sharia. And that is the point of conflict. As we go forward into the days ahead, you talk about civil liberties and civil rights. How are we going to defend the civil rights and civil liberties of American citizens against the influence of Sharia law, which by its own definition is a law? Mm-hmm. Therefore, the point of conflict, the point of contact between Sharia And the Constitution is going to be Article 6, which plainly states that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. This is not a First Amendment fight or argument. It's not about freedom of expression or freedom of religion. It's about the fact that Sharia, by its own definition, considers itself superior to all man-made forms of law, including the U.S. Constitution.
Which brings me to a question for you, Trevor. Okay, that being the case, that we know that Islam does not play well all over the globe. They have the same pattern everywhere. They don't believe in coexisting. They believe in dominating and then exterminating until they are the only ones or converting. And so then how could it be that they would want to cooperate with the Bill Ayers of this world or the Black Lives Matter? They have different philosophies. Why would they be interested in playing with them in the streets?
Yeah, well, I'll just quickly add to what Phil is saying too, in that when I came to this country, I had to swear a declaration that I had never been involved in any communist or Nazi group that sought to overthrow the U.S. Constitution. But if you believe in Sharia law and are actively advocating for it, you are attempting to overthrow the U.S. Constitution. So why should you be allowed in here if a communist or a Nazi is not? And I'm sure they don't enforce those laws now either, but the principle is there that you are not welcome in America if you seek to overthrow the Constitution.
It's interesting that you should say that because, of course, that goes to the because of the ignorance of the American people, and many of us are ignorant on this, there was that argument that you couldn't have a religious test, and then the counter-argument was that Islam is much more than a religion. Yeah. It is a political system compared to communism. Well, if that's in writing for you as an immigrant coming to this country from New Zealand, that's exhibit A right there of the point.
It is, and that's the point. And if Islam was only a religion, we wouldn't be worried because they wouldn't be politically active in trying to impose their law on us. But Islam is a political, economic, military, social system with a religious element, yes. But it's the political side that worries us because they want to make us conform to their view of the world. And that's a pretty antithetical view to what most Americans want to believe in. So that's the... that is the problem, their political affiliations. And that is also why they work quite nicely with the left, because the left may be atheistic, the Islam may have a religious component, but they're both totalitarian. It's like two mafia gangs working, you know, to carve up the local area for the drug trade or whatever it is. You know, there might be two opposed gangs that hate each other, but they'll work together
to destroy their enemy. Then what happens after that?
Well, maybe one day they will fight over our corpses.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit late for us.
Phil, what happens after that?
Well, all this year, or I should say 2016, I traveled around the country talking about this very subject, and people would inevitably ask me, why are they doing it? And I felt that was a fair question, that it deserved a good answer. Initially, I didn't have a snappy answer because it's an abstract concept. But then I was reading through, as I tended to do in every meeting, portion of the Declaration of Independence, and it struck me like a ton of bricks. Right in the Declaration of Independence, it says, to alter or abolish the current form of government. And that is the common point of contact between the Reds and the Greens. The Red-Green Alliance, as both of them are seeking to alter or abolish the current form of government and replace it with each of their respected ideal form of government. So who will win that battle? Who will win between the Red and the Green? My premise is that the Green will, because they're willing to die for what they believe in. The Reds are always willing to let other people die for what they believe in and use other people's resources, but Islam is not quite the same. They're actually willing to go forward and lay down their life for what they believe in.
We only have a couple of minutes left, but I'm curious to know, you know, Donald Trump just won the election. The inauguration just took place. He is the president. How much of a blow to this group? Is it just a blip on the radar, or is it a real blow to them?
This could be a shockwave heard around the world. If they actually designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, that's going to send a shockwave around the pro-Sharia, pro-Jihad, global Islamic movement without firing a single shot or dropping a single bomb, and it'll have repercussions. Groups like CARE will be out of the public arena.
We need to say that Ted Cruz presented that in the Senate a long time ago, and Donald Trump, as I understand it, has expressed his at least interest in pushing that declare CARE a terrorist organization. Yeah. Trevor?
Well, I think, you know, it's really going to depend on the grassroots, because Donald Trump has got some great ideas and he's got some great people around him and he cares about the country. But he's got to have the backing of the people, because he's going to have to do some pretty controversial things and call some people out and take a very militant stand, because the radicals are so entrenched, they're going to have to be actually removed from positions. So are we willing to do that? Are we willing to stand behind him and push him to take the steps necessary? So I think that we can't just give this all to Trump. We have to be pushing, pushing, pushing.
How very interesting, you guys. We could talk. We could do another hour together. I appreciate your time so much. Trevor Loudon, TheEnemiesWithinMovie.com, and also the new project, Center America Under Siege. I'm reading it. America Under Siege, Civil War 2017. And again, it just came out, and it's the first of a series.
Yeah, Capital Research Center website's the best place to see that. It's available free on YouTube on their site.
Okay, wonderful. And Phil Haney, See Something, Say Nothing, a real hero to our country. And I always appreciate your time, Phil. God bless and keep both of you, and also James Simpson, who was with us too. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.